Back here on the Mighty 690 here on this Thursday morning, as we normally take our trip around the thin blue line today, it is Sergeant Rocky Yell with the Coffeyville Police Department. As Rocky, it's great to meet you, and always so great to have the CPD in with us and speaking with us on a Thursday morning. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, hey, it's good to meet you, as it's a 19-year member of the Coffeyville Police Department. As yes, Sergeant Rocky Yell comes in as just off of the Halloween holiday, you know, from a law enforcement side of things. Did, you know, Coffeyville, was it, I guess, more of a quiet, uneventful, yet fun night last night?
I believe so, yeah. So
good deal.
No reported injuries, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, sweet. It's, you know, with certain holidays, I mean, even Christmas, New Year's Eve, especially in Halloween, you raise that risk of people going a little overboard, whatever it may be, getting behind the wheel. We'll touch on that a little bit as well, but good to hear everybody, you know, came out of it, you know, I'm sure some arrests were made here and there. Were they related directly with Halloween incidences? Who knows? But, hey, at least it was nothing extremely eventful. That's always good to hear. But with that as well, did you have any, you know, we're getting to that time of year where it is Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas back to back to back, you know, holiday travel and traffic were just in general more population and more risk on the roads as well. So, I mean, really, do you have advice for our listeners out there with the holiday season coming out here?
Patience is the biggest thing. I know there's a lot of road rage incidents out there. It's getting ready to get busy with, like you said, the holidays coming up. Everybody's wanting to get where they want to be. But we want to make sure everybody gets there safe and gets to spend the time with their family. So, we're going to have extra patrols, watching for seatbelt, making sure everybody's wearing their seatbelt, and also, you know, drinking and driving. If you've had something to drink, it doesn't take much to get over the 0.08, so don't take a chance and have a follow-up plan and have a designated driver set up if need be.
Yeah, and I think that's the mistake that some people make is, instead of trying to have that plan while you're, you know, say you're out at a sports bar, you're out at a restaurant, you had a little bit too much to drink, and man, now I have to start making a plan. In reality, you should make that plan before you even go out.
Yeah, that would be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Have that plan A and a plan B to maybe what would happen, you know, maybe you have a friend, and then plan B, oh, I'll take a cab, whatever it may be, but, you know, you got to have those plans in place. And such like that is it, you know, it's so easy to get over the 0.08 without, you know, even noticing. And then some people, of course, they come up with the excuse, oh, I can handle that, I can do this. And you know, from a law enforcement side, again, and this is a curiosity question, it's not trying to defend myself by any means, but if you do, you know, pass every other field sobriety test, you know, out there, and then it comes to the breathalyzer and you are over, where does that coincide? You've passed every, you know, balance test, the whatever it may be, but then the 0.08, say it's 0.10, is that still over the, I mean, it's obviously over the legal limit.
If it gets to that point, yeah. If we have a the Intoxilizer 9000, that's the initial, the final test, that is through the state, it's qualified, I say qualified, but it's tested through the state and ensured every week there's a test to make sure that it's within acceptable tolerances. But we go through what they call the sobriety test. Each officer is trained on it through either the academy or there's special training that KHP puts on, called the standard field sobriety test, to where every test is the same for each officer to do. You know, it's the walk and turn, the one leg stand, and also the horizontal gaze, nystagmus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many clues in each one of those, if you fail so many of them as a whole, then the officer will take you down and you'll test on the intoxilizer. But he has to have so many of those tests, or fails during those tests, to test on it, and then from there on, you know, if you do get a DUI, it's very expensive. So, you know, the best thing to do is to call somebody.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, and you're right. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, and again, a curiosity question is all it was, and I didn't really realize that, because you're right. You have to find reasonable evidence that they are intoxicated before you just throw a test in their face, before you start, you know, testing for their blood alcohol level, whatever it may be. And I'm sure you guys are kind of trained to subtle hints, whether it's something in the eyes. I mean, even just eye shaking or, you know, delayed, whatever it may be. And some people overlook those.
Right, right. You have the nystagmus, which is the involuntary movement of the eye. There's three different tests of those. We also tested on balance and doing multiple things during the test, which if your brain is under the influence, you can't really do the multitask thing very well, and that's what the idea of the testing is. Each officer is trained out through the academy, which is now, I think it's 16 weeks at the academy. Not all of it is the alcohol, but it is. They go through a training there, and then once they get out, then there's specific training that we do also during the year on different things.
Yeah, you had mentioned, holiday season's already expensive enough. We don't need to make it 10 times worth with a big old fat ticket on that with that. So, now you and Matt Jordan were sitting down a moment ago off the air kind of speaking about how you guys had maybe come up with, you know, increased enforcement around the holiday time, maybe some sort of checks, something like that for the next year. I know you guys, restarted that calendar back in October. Would we expect any of those here around the holiday season?
I do plan on having at least a saturation patrol, which would be probably around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's specifically where officers are paid through a program to the state, and that's all they do is go out and do the not only alcohol but drugs or alcohol influence, make sure nobody's driving.
Yeah, they just
intoxicated or under the influence.
Shift 100% of their focus to keeping the roads a little bit more safely. And is it obviously there's the obvious things, you know, not using a blinker or any of the other street things, but driving by, is there signs that you notice that kind of telltale signs that a person is either intoxicated or under the influence of some drug, whatever it may be? Because obviously speeding is a giveaway with swerving back and forth. But is there signs of an individual driving, for maybe someone else on the road to identify?
Well, if they're intoxicated enough, which God forbid they get that bad. But, there's the pale, just the plain face look where they're that intoxicated, sitting at a stoplight too long or stop sign for too long when there's no traffic, wide turns, not using your blinker, like you said. It's kind of the multitasking thing that I talked about earlier. There's a separate between road rage and somebody waiting at a stoplight too long once it turns green, than somebody that's not paying attention or is under the influence and just slow to react. And you can kind of tell by their actions if they're head bobbing and a blank stare.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you mentioned a great comment. It's the multitasking events, because anybody can drive in a straight line, but when they're asked to flip on the blinker, take a left turn, shift their focus to multiple things, that's when they start making those mistakes. And like you said, God forbid they're even on the road at that point. Look out for those signs and completely avoid them. And you had mentioned as well some road rage incidents, and I think it's a good topic because for some reason people just get so, it's a flip of the switch. They get so angry behind the wheel of a car. If someone is, curious about that, or you're not necessarily curious, but they think that they might get into an event, what are some precautions to just avoid any road rage altercations?
Well, the main thing is, not responding back to someone that's done anything. If there's a way to get out, then, you can drive away. If you need us, to call us. Because it's just anymore everybody's in a hurry. And the patients run thin real fast. But, you know, if you're out driving, somebody's following you, drive to the police station or drive to where there's, if, you know, the fire department or, you know, in our case, it's the same thing, but, but drive to where there's other people. And if you can't go to the police department or get hold of the police, but that's the main thing is getting away from the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Now for, again, you see videos on Facebook, you see whatever it may be. If the chance that this may happen, that the event becomes so severe that whether there was contact made or whether that there was something that happened that you decided to follow the individual and get plates or whatever, but within that, it may increase your chances to breaking the law along with him, whoever it may be. That's not really something that you advise, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you get to following somebody and want to get a tag number, you know, you can get the tag number, but if it starts to break the speed limit, then you're also breaking the law too, or they speed up and start running, driving reckless, and you're trying to catch up with them. And it ain't worth the danger of possibly you getting a ticket, because any more tickets are expensive, and it goes on your driving record, which drives your insurance up, and plus your safety and other people's safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, last question here on the road rage thing, and then we'll get back to more vehicle safety, as for some reason seatbelt usage is hard to come by even nowadays with how many deaths that are recorded because of the lack of thereof of the use of seatbelt. But when it comes to road rage, say the event has turned, spiraled completely out of control, and you're heading back home. They're still there. They're still following you. They get to the house. You know, for me personally, I probably, if I noticed them behind me, I would have called the police by then, but before taking them to my house. But when they get to the house, you always see people that go online or whatever it may be, and it's like, oh, you're on my property. I can do whatever I want now. And I don't think that that's the case. Just because that they followed you back to your property doesn't mean that you can start ramming them with a car, whether you can start defending your property, whatever it may be, unless that there's an initial threat.
Right.
But what would be, I mean, best case scenario, just call you guys, I would imagine, before any of that.
Yeah, best thing to do is just to call us. We'll get there as soon as we can. If you have a cell phone in the car, maybe that doesn't have service, it still has 911 service, so... A good idea is always to keep a charged cell phone in the glove box in case you need to call 911. Like I say, you can call us. We'll get there as soon as possible. You may not want to, if they're following you, you may not want to go home. May not be a good idea, because if any more people take things further, because if they know where you're at after the incident, they can just start it back up.
Yep. Yeah, just try and avoid them following you. If anything, avoid, pull off the road, and just don't acknowledge the situation from the beginning. Now, with that, we had mentioned a little bit more of seatbelt enforcement here. Just kind of describe the importance. 19 years with the CPD, and you know, in particular, and I'm sure around law enforcement for basically your whole life. I'm sure you've seen some pretty gnarly, you know, gnarly accidents where it came down to a seatbelt being used or not being used. So.
Yes. Yeah, and the biggest thing that makes you really want to make sure that everybody wears a seatbelt is having not only just an adult or a child, but having to go tell a parent that, you know, there's been a fatality involving their family. One of those, you know, I've done too many of those during my life. History with the police department, you know, a seatbelt or somebody not drinking and driving could have avoided. I know a lot of people get upset because we do a lot of the traffic. We stop them for speeding. We stop them for the seatbelt and issue tickets. But we're trying to get the word out there, because it's not only just Coffeyville, but it's throughout the state. If we can slow you down in Coffeyville, then you may make it to your destination out of state or out of town safer than if we don't do the traffic violations, the stop sign or the tickets for speeding, stop signs or seatbelt, because once you get out of town, then that increases your chances, because you're moving at twice the speed that you do here in town.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, with the enforcement of the seatbelt here, I can imagine that this is probably kind of a tricky battle, you know, because there's so many opportunities. Well, not so many, but, you know, subtle opportunities for an individual. Say they weren't wearing it. They see an officer start to address their vehicle. They throw it on real quick. You didn't notice that. Or vice versa. You know, you're pulling up to the car and they did have their seatbelt on. They take it right off. Say there's enough tint in the vehicle that you can't see it, and you walk up to the car and there's no seatbelt on. How? I mean, that's a pretty big gray area to try and enforce.
Right. The rule of thumb for me is I have to visually see and I have to be 100% sure that your seatbelt's not on. And the same thing kind of goes with speeding. If I'm running radar and there's two cars coming, and I can't tell which one it is, but I got a pretty good idea that it's this car, and I stop it, I'll most likely issue a warning because I'm not 100% sure. And it's the same thing with seatbelts. You know, I may stop them and talk to them that I'm not 100% sure. I like to end my contact with the driver, you know, in a positive way when I stop them. And a lot of times if they have their seatbelt on, that's the thing I say, I appreciate you wearing your seatbelt. Because I agree that a lot of them do take their seatbelt off to get to their, especially men who are sitting on their wallets to get their driver's license out. But officers have their discretion on what they want to do. But I think most of them are the same as I am. They're going to be 100% sure that you violated before they write you.
Yeah, and I think that's a big difference as well with what I've noticed here at the CPD and you personally right there. You do add that little personal touch at the end. You end it on a lighter note because, you know, regardless of the situation, it can be an anxiety-building situation to be pulled over, regardless for what situation. You could have a taillight out. You're just trying to help getting the taillight out, and, you know, today's day and age, it is, you know, kind of an anxiety-building moment for when you get pulled over on the side of the road. All the attention's on you now, whatever it may be, and to have that citizen-to-police officer relationship be as good as that is, that's pretty good. So, speaking with Sergeant Rocky Yell here with the Coffeyville Police Department. Rocky, it's been great speaking with you here. Any final notes for the listeners?
No, just with the holidays coming up, you know, take your time, leave plenty of time, and be sure and wear your seatbelts, you know, if you do get out and you've had a little bit too much to drink, I'm sure a friend or your family would not mind you waking them up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning just to make sure you get home safe. They would much rather hear from you than they would from me.
They might be a little annoyed at you, but hey, at least you're not in a jail cell or with a big fat ticket on coming your way. So again, Sergeant Rocky Yell with the Coffeyville Police Department, thanks so much and you have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.